Happy Earth Day, pod listeners. Most of us want to do our part to make the world a little greener. Maybe that means always having your reusable grocery bags handy and carrying a metal water bottle around. Or maybe it's making sure that all that plastic packaging makes it into the recycle bin.
When we do throw our plastics in the recycle bin, we don't quite get the same materials back out.
Well, shoot. Is there a better way to deal with our plastic waste? That's what we'll be talking about today. This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. We now know a lot more about the damage that plastic can have on our environment. Everything from microplastics in our drinking water to plastic bags found in the stomachs of wildlife. And like you heard University of Michigan chemist Anne McNeil say just now, recycling plastic is more complicated than we'd like to believe when we throw a cup or some packaging into the recycling bin. And so chemists like her, along with environmentalists and entrepreneurs, are looking for ways to repurpose plastic that would otherwise be discarded.
The process of mechanical recycling that we've developed over the last 50 years is really a downcycling process. It takes the high quality materials we're putting in the recycle bin and downgrading them into lower quality products, things that aren't going to be recycled again, like carpet pads and park benches and things like that. And so I think both once people realize that mechanical recycling isn't, you know, remaking the same high quality product that they bought in the first place, I think there is a huge interest in trying to discover what else can we do with these materials.
Hey, before we talk about the chemical process that you're putting these plastics through, can we talk about the riverbank cleanup that you've orchestrated?
Absolutely. So during COVID, my group and I were thinking about ways we could get, you know, the group together and outside and maybe get the rest of our department together since we had all been holed up in our homes for so long. And it just kind of hit us that, you know, we're thinking about ways of recycling plastics in our lab, and maybe we should just expand this to our community. And so we decided to organize an event on Earth Day in April 2021 was our first one. And we just, you know, sent out an email and asked for volunteers from different people in the department. And the response was just truly overwhelming. It was really amazing. We put together a bunch of teams with four or five individuals going to different parks, picking up plastics. And it was just such a fun event for everyone. We got such great feedback from it. And it made such a huge impact. At our first cleanup, we picked up about 6,000 pieces of trash across the Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti areas. And because of the success, we just decided to keep going. So we organized another cleanup in the fall in September. And we had over 75 volunteers at that time and picked up over 13,000 pieces of trash, including a lot of plastic, around the different parks in Ann Arbor. And we're just about to do our next cleanup this weekend on Saturday.
You've been teaching students that are part of this generation that's really felt the reality of a changing climate future in a super vivid way. How have the circumstances of the climate crisis, how do you find that fueling their work and their ideas about what needs to happen with plastics and packaging?
Yeah, the plastics lecture that I give in my class that I just gave a couple of weeks ago, you can just kind of see it in their faces. You know, they haven't fully taken in sort of the crisis that is out there. You know, they see a lot of plastic waste, but they don't really know, you know, where the bottleneck is and what the problem is. And so that's actually one of my more fun lectures to give in a way, because I'm teaching them, like, you know, this recycle bin that we try to be so good about putting things in, that's really not the solution. We need to rethink the whole plastics cycle. And so I talk about everything from, you know, redesigning packaging so that we can do recycling better, focusing on reusing plastics. And then, you know, if those two things can't be done, what are our options with recycling? You know, what other options do we have in recycling? And that's where my research comes in and where my group is interested, is thinking about these materials instead of it as waste, as actually value, that they're bringing value to the world. They've already put a bunch of energy into making these materials. You know, why are we just kind of letting that go? Let's try to use that as a starting point for something else.
And are all the plastics that you find in cleanup, are all of those usable in the research you're doing?
I wish that, you know, we and others have developed methods for all of these plastics, but it's still a relatively new field. And so in my lab, you know, there's two plastics that we've been working on, developing ways to maintain its value through chemistry and chemical transformations. But we definitely do not have solutions for everything that is out there. And this is a growing area in my field. And hopefully, you know, in 10 years' time, there will be solutions out there for all of them.
Can you explain a little bit about why you can't? I mean, to the civilian, I think it seems simple enough. We're going to melt the plastic down. We're going to mold it into something new and repackage. Could you maybe take us through why it doesn't work like that?
Yeah, there's really two reasons. The first is that, you know, when you think about a plastic item, even if you go to, you know, the grocery store and you look at laundry detergent bottles, you know, they come in every single color. And there's all these additives that we've put in plastics to try to make them useful for a specific purpose. Like, we actually use a shockingly few different types of plastics, but because we put so many different additives in them, we can change the properties. But those additives are not helpful in the recycling process. In fact, it's like super detrimental. So it's like taking a bunch of different things and then mixing them together and expecting the quality of the thing that comes out of that to be, you know, on par with what it was before it was mixed. So in the recycling facilities right now, you know, we do our best at sorting the different plastics, but even when you are really good at sorting the plastics, you know, they're just not the same material. They're different sizes. They have different additives in there, different colorants, different stabilizers. And so there's just, I call it a plastic soup, because even when you do really good with sorting at the mechanical facilities, you still end up with this mixture. And the mixture is what leads to the lower properties.
I grew up with the understanding that plastics were petroleum products, but I feel like I'm seeing more and more plastics that may have plant additives and stuff. Does that add to the complication of the recycling process?
It totally does. Like right now, there's a few on the market that are, you know, advertised as compostable. Those things, you know, are compostable in industrial composting facilities, but they are absolutely detrimental to the mechanical recycling facilities. And so people have to really be aware, you know, if the item says compostable, they should not be putting it in their curbside recycle bin, because that's complicating it even more.
It's time for a short break. Back with Ann McNeil in just a moment.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Can you tell us about the chemical process that you're putting these plastic wastes through in your research?
Yeah, I can give you a very specific example of something that we published last year. So in collaboration with Procter & Gamble, we were interested in trying to find a second life for the materials that are used inside diapers. So diapers are actually one of these products that are really hard to recycle because they have a lot of different components to it. You know, there's the fabric component that's made of one type of polymer. And then inside the fabric casing is a mixture of two other polymers. Typically, it's a natural polymer like cellulose, and a fossil-derived polymer that is a super absorbent material. That's what holds onto the water. Even when the, you know, the child sits down, it doesn't like squish all out all over the place. And that polymer
there's also the small question of the bio waste involved, right?
Yes. Absolutely. And so right now, all of our diapers are going into landfills. There's been estimates that it's like 20 billion diapers per year in the U.S. that are going straight to landfills. And so Procter & Gamble was really interested in developing recycling solutions for the materials within the diapers. And they do have a partnership with a company that is focused on the dealing with those biosolids and the waste. And so after that company deals with the sort of sterilization of the used diapers, our group comes in and takes that super absorbent material, and we do a few chemical transformations on it to turn it into a different product. So the original product has a bunch of these interconnected bonds between the polymers, and that's what makes it really good at absorbing water. And so we come in and we cleave those bonds that interconnect all the different polymers within the plastic, and that makes it flow a little bit better. And then we put a group on the side of the polymer that makes it, you know, kind of sticky. And so at the end of the day, the thing that used to be a super absorbent material is now actually a really good adhesive. And so we've changed sort of its purpose in life, but we've maintained kind of overall the chemical structure of the polymer, just with a little bit of tweaks on it.
Hmm. And how do you think about endgame? I mean, is it reasonable to think we're going to come to a place in your lifetime and mine when we're going to make a bigger dent in the percentage of plastics that we're recycling?
This is such a great question. I really hope so. I don't know if it's going to pan out, but I really hope so. I think there are a number of companies that are very forward-thinking in how they're managing now their plastic footprint. I think it's become almost popular in a way for companies to have something to say about what they're doing about their waste. And I think that's also what's motivating P&G in this case, right? They're a leading manufacturer of diapers and they know it's going into landfills. And so I think there's a sustainability movement that is going to help companies and consumers prioritize using fewer plastics. And when we do use plastics, having responsible end-of-life options for them. So I think there is this movement. The question is, are we going to get there, you know, in my lifetime or in my children's lifetime? And that one, I don't know. I really hope it's my lifetime, though.
I find that when I go to the grocery store, I'm facing a shrinking circle of options that don't involve plastic packaging. And very specifically, I mean, this is a laundry detergent issue, but there are many other examples we could think of as well. I know you're not involved in the business end of things, but just knowing what you know about recycling, how do you think about it? Do you try to spend the extra money to seek out products in different stores that might have, you know, paper packaging? Or how do you handle it?
Yeah, actually, maybe I can put a plug for this company, but I've been ordering an online detergent, both for dishwashers, for our hand soap, and for our laundry. And it comes packaged as little powdered pellets, essentially. And you get a compostable bag that contains those pellets. And then you add the water at home. So you're adding the water to make, you know, the dish soap or the dishwasher soap, or your hand soap, and then you can add the water to make the laundry detergent, or you can just put the pellets right in the machine. So I try as much as possible in my daily life to limit the amount of plastics we're consuming. And I agree with you, when you're some things in the stores, you just have no options. But there are definitely growing companies and in places online that I think you can find more sustainable options, and probably some in town as well.
Incredible. And before you go, do you have any tips or tricks that people can use on an individual level within their own families that can help reduce plastics use?
I find with my kids, I'm going really slowly. So like we used to do during COVID, we would do this like Wednesday night takeout and take it to a park. And I was like, okay, let's just something simple. We can buy the stainless steel, like travel silverware for each of us. So we each got like a different colored travel silverware. That's like, you know, those, you know how they can like paint the stainless steel different colors.
Right.
So we all have our own like little pack. So we wash it, you know, and we're not doing takeout Wednesdays anymore, but we still use it. I pack that at my kids' lunches now. They get their like stainless, you know, special travel pack. And then we switched to cloth napkins. And then, you know, we just recently got this, this product called Bees Wrap. It's like using that instead of saran wrap or plastic bags, you kind of just like fold it over.
Yes.
And that's been super nice. So I'm not trying to like totally make my kids crazy about this, but we just try to find these small things, you know, that we can, small things we can change and have them recognize it too.
Like get it in their heads. Yeah.
Yeah. So I it's like such a huge problem and it's hard to not want to do everything at once.
And thank you so much for telling us a little bit about your research.
Thank you for having me.
And that's the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. If you learned something today, why not share it around? Text this episode or email it to another eco-conscious friend. We hope you'll leave us a review, too. Today's episode was produced by April Van Buren. Other producers on our show are Mercedes Mejia, Mike Blank, and Aaron Allen. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Music for this episode from Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week. Take care.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Williams.
I'm Lester Graham. We've been working on a big project about Great Lakes birds called the Bird Connection.
It will look at ducks and trumpeter swans,
egrets and herons,
and piping plovers. Yes!
We'll discuss what we've discovered at a Michigan Public Issues and Ale event.
Including how some problems for birds are problems for people.
It's at Arbor Brewing Company in Ypsilanti, the evening of May 21st at 7.
You can register at michiganpublic.org.